Well, greetings, saints. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Appreciate you so much. This is an awesome day. The things God has prepared for His people right under their noses are just awesome. And I'm going to lay a little foundation today and share some of the good news of what God has done and is doing and what's about to happen. And it's just awesome. I love meditating on it, thinking on it. Well, Father, bless us today with wisdom and discernment. And thank you so much, Father, for opening these scriptures to us and the understanding of what you're doing and about to do. And it's just awesome good news. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to start in Revelation chapter 21, just to lay a little foundation. I know a lot of you know this, but I'm going to lay just a tiny bit of foundation here so we can talk about this. I want to talk to you about the good news of Zion. And we're just going to start in Revelation 21 and 2. And it says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. There's a false understanding about when this happens, and I'm going to prove that to you. But anyway, he goes on to say, coming down out of heaven from God. Paul spoke about it in his day in Hebrews. It's a wondrous thing. It's the daughter of Jerusalem. It's born again Jerusalem that is coming down out of heaven, born from above, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. This new Jerusalem is the bride, represents the bride that's being created on earth, that part of God's people, which is the city of God, the capital city of God in which David ruled over, which in turn ruled over the rest of Israel, which represents the church. And if we go on down to verse 19, the latter part, we see, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain, that is Mount Zion, great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Now this has nothing to do with old, unregenerate Jerusalem, which is in total confusion and doesn't know God, and so on and so on. This is quite the opposite. This is a repeat of history so that we can see the parable and how God uses the parable of the bride and its leadership, the man-child, David, and how that God is once again bringing forth this Jerusalem bride to rule over the people of God. It is a reformer ministry of God. When Jesus came, he started a reformation. He raised up the disciples. John looked at him and his disciples and said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Jesus was walking with the bride through that teaching time and revelation. And then he sent them forth to raise up the church. And the things that have been are the things that shall be. Jesus, in the man-child of our day, is coming to raise up this new Jerusalem. Jesus went to that old Jerusalem. It was only right to go first to them, as he said, gone first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And this time, of course, there's a repeat of history, and the man-child is once again going to the unregenerate, and but at the same time raising up a new people of God, a new leadership, a new move of the Spirit. And if you go to Revelation chapter 3, you can see in verse 7 that he spoke to one of the seven churches, much like Moses married a bride of one of seven daughters. He spoke to one of the seven churches, and guess what? It's called Philadelphia. Philo meaning love, and Delphia meaning city, the city of love, brotherly love, right? I think it's called Al-Sheher now, the city of God, which that's what it means, city of God. And what does he say about it? Well, I'm just going to jump right on down to verse 11. He says, I come quickly, hold fast that which thou hast, that no one take thy crown. A crown, of course, is a not only a reward, but it is a symbol of dominion. And our dominion, of course, is over the enemy, over the flesh. Not many people know that, but the bride knows that she has this dominion over the flesh and over the enemy. They know it, and so they're growing in it and coming to maturity and perfection. Verse 12, he that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. A pillar is something that you don't move in and out, right? That's what most Christians do. They're in the kingdom and out of the kingdom. They speak in the spirit and they speak in the flesh and so on and so forth. And he shall go out thence no more. This bride, city of brotherly love, will go out thence no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God. The city, of course, is the bride, as we just saw. The new Jerusalem, not the old Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, Paul called it in Hebrews chapter 12, which you have come to. Why, it was even there in Paul's day, according to Hebrews 12, 18 through 28. So it's here. And it is growing, and a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out thence no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. This is, of course, present tense and future tense. It's happening. It was happening. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. You know, we have to be born from above, according to what Jesus said. And according to what Peter, God said through Peter, we must be born again, not only in spirit, a born again spirit, but in soul. And don't have time to go through all that again, but your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. It represents Christ in you. His mind, his will, his emotions in you. Born from above. After the pattern of Jesus Christ. And the wonderful thing is, this bride has been in the making. And being sanctified. And every member of that bride is being sanctified. And, of course, some are being removed from the bride because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And you wouldn't want the bride to be defiled by the sins and the wickedness of those who claim to be a part of her. Right? We wouldn't want that. The whole story is in Psalm 101. And guess who's speaking? David, who is a type of that picture we're talking about. And the David man-child ministry of our day, that the Lord said he would always have one to sit upon the throne of David. The son of David, Jesus, came and sat upon the throne of David. And whether the Pharisees knew it or not, he was over the true people of God. And just as he raised up a reformer ministry, so the David man-child in our day, in whom Jesus lives, because Jesus is doing it all. Your spiritual man is being made in the image of Jesus by the Word of God in your heart, which you have devoured. The Lamb, right? Amen. So David is speaking of this process leading up to a sanctified bride. Yes. Psalm 101 and 1, I will sing of the loving kindness and justice. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing praises. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. David was a prophet. He spoke in the name of the Lord. All of this is for a sign of what's coming and being manifested in the earth, especially in the end time. And so pay attention, because the David man-child will be perfected. Not because of man's ability, but because of God's ability. By grace have you been saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No man will have anything to boast of. It's God's choosing and God's perfecting that he is doing. I will set no base thing before mine eyes. That's what David said. And the eyes of the king will scourge away evil. Base means wicked, vile, and evil. I hate the work of them that turn aside. Well, he's talking about those that turn aside from the narrow path that leadeth to Zion. The highway of holiness, which the Bible says leadeth to Zion, the bride. This is our path of perfection, our path of maturity, right? But he hates the work of them that turn aside. On this path, people may start out on it, and they may fall away, and it happens. And they turn aside. They have proven unworthy to be on the path. And of course, let me say this. Everybody's unworthy to be on the path. And everybody that is there by grace. But if you walk in willful disobedience, you definitely will be turned out of the way. Because it's the highway of holiness. It means you're walking on holiness. You're walking on holy ground. It shall not cleave unto me. Yes. So those that hate the work of the righteous, they won't cleave unto him. A perverse heart shall depart from me. Amen. I will know no evil thing. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I destroy. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. So these people will not be permitted on the path. And that's the method. He's speaking about the method that God is using leading up to the sanctification of the city of God, which is the bride. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I destroy. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer, says the Lord, through David. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. Well, you know, God speaks much about dwelling in Zion and those that dwell in Zion. And what is the benefit of dwelling in Zion? And this is the bride. You know, again, there are those who are in and amongst the bride that are tested. And if they get off the path, they're removed from the path to Zion. Just as we're seeing here. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall minister unto me. Where was the ministers unto him? And where was the presence of the Lord? It was in Zion. It was in Jerusalem. Is the presence of the Lord. You know, the 12 tribes fell away and made their golden calves because they did not want people to go to Jerusalem to the presence of God, to the bride. And those 12 tribes are fighting today. I'm talking about 12 tribes in Christianity are fighting today to keep people from going to Jerusalem to worship the King of Kings in the bride. They are not on the path. They are fighting to keep people from the path. And wicked also among the bride are fighting to keep people from the path and to show a wrong way to lead people away from the path. Remember that the Pharisees, Jesus said, stand in the door. They don't enter in and they won't let anybody else enter in. And that is this is a part of the test. Are you determined to walk in holiness, obedience to God's word, and arrive at that place called Zion and be in that number called the bride? He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. Many people are self-deluded because of their idols and because of their selfish will. They will not walk holy before the Lord. They deceive themselves and then they try to deceive others because, you know, they want company down the evil road that they go. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that speaketh falsehood shall not be established before mine eyes. Which is one reason he said, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I destroy, the Lord says. And we can see that. We have seen that. We have watched that. So this test that we're looking at right here leads us up to verse 8. David, of course, is the one who is fighting to bring the bride to that place right there. And I'm talking about the larger worldwide David, right? And we know that Jesus was David. And Jesus and the man-child is the son of David. And even the Jerusalem in the Bible was called the daughter of Jerusalem. We're talking, and it's a type and a shadow of this new Jerusalem, the daughter of Jerusalem. Let's face it, we've all been in the flesh. And natural Jerusalem is in the flesh. It's an old unbeliever. It's not regenerate. But this, we're talking about regenerate, born again Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, saved in spirit and soul, and prepared for a new body, but also prepared for a reformer ministry, right? Morning by morning will I destroy all the wicked of the land. Oh, so God is out to make that land a holy land. He is destroying all of the wicked of that land. And so we must keep our eyes wide open so that we can see the pitfalls that are laid for us, the traps, the tests that are laid for us. Okay, morning by morning will I destroy all the wicked of the land, to cut off all the workers of iniquity from the what? City of the Lord, the city of God, the Jerusalem, the bride, the Zion of God, to cut off all the workers of iniquity from the city of God. And, you know, it's a miserable feeling when you see people plateau, meaning they don't want to go on any farther. They've gone as far as they're going to go up the mountain of God. And they begin to justify their sin, and their lusts lead them astray, turn them aside on the highway of holiness to the bride, because then they're cut off. And so, you see, 101 here is basically the thing that God is doing, Psalm 101, the thing that God is doing in these days to raise up His bride, sanctify His bride. It's an awesome thing, but a miserable thing at the same time, you know, because you love everybody, you want to see everybody make it. And but when people turn aside, it's when they start losing God's grace. You know, it's grace that gets us to the top. Faith is also a gift of grace. By grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not from you, he says. It's from me, God says. So when people turn their hearts away from God, he takes away his grace, and they stumble into very, very foolish things that they would never do otherwise. It's just kind of a sad thing to watch, but it's a necessary thing to sanctify a body who's going to start this revival. Remember, when Jesus came, which was a type of when the man-child comes in our day, the reformer ministry worldwide, who is the first fruits to come into his image, that he is sending forth to raise up the bride, okay? When that happens, it's in the midst of a great falling away. It's necessary to sanctify a bride to start this revival. Jesus, when he first came, he was the revival. He started the revival. He came in a son of David to start the revival. First thing he did was to raise up and give that authority to faithful people who were, you could call them the second fruits if you want. He was the first fruits. These are the second fruits. But they are the first fruits from among the larger body to be prepared to raise up the church. And of course, those people went out and raised up the church, raised up the fivefold ministry, etc., etc. And it was glorious. But first, Jesus concentrated on this small group of people to sanctify and to teach them. You would think, oh, he would just, you know, he did go to the multitude sometimes, but he took these people along with him, and it was an on-hands education. He took these people along and taught them the way and made disciples, which is learner and follower of the master, and made disciples, and he raised up the church through them. The great apostate church was being raised, was being delivered from bondage and captivity to be raised up in his image. Okay? From there, I want to go to Isaiah 52. I'm going to just briefly share 1 and 2 here for a minute. Awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments. Now we know what beautiful garments are. The beautiful garments that the bride has in Revelation 19, which the lampros garments, meaning the glowing garments, the garments which it says are the righteous acts of the saints. So it's the saints walking in holiness that are these beautiful garments to the Lord. They're beautiful to the Lord. He loves to see his people walk in holiness. O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments. O Jerusalem, notice that Zion is Jerusalem, okay? The holy city. Holy city. Holy means separate, sanctified. Hagios means, in the New Testament, it means separated and sanctified. From what? From sin. It's the holy city. Okay, there have been times, of course, that Jerusalem wasn't the holy city. It was unregenerate Jerusalem and falling away and going into captivity and so on. That parable's all through the Old Testament too. But there's also the holy city that God defended and delivered out of the hand of the beast and that God was joyful in. Okay, so we're looking at this born again holy city, not the unregenerate that had to die, and it did die. O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee, no more come into thee, the uncircumcised and the unclean. In other words, the flesh was cut off. The uncleanness was cut away. How did that happen? Same as what we saw in 101. Destroy all the wicked out of the land. Cut off all the workers of iniquity from the city of the Lord. So now you see he's talking about this same place, this same city. There is no such city like this in the flesh. Jerusalem is totally unregenerate. They don't believe in the Savior, although there are people there who do believe in the Savior, and they can be a part of that city, but that's the heavenly city. It's no advantage in living in the old unregenerate city at all. Okay, the flesh has to pass away. It's the spirit that's going to continue on, right? So we go through a death, burial, and a resurrection. There shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. In other words, God's got a number, a quality of people, etc., that it's going to be fulfilled. God started a couple of years ago telling us that the door was closing to the bride. Maybe 3 years ago. I lose track of time sometimes. The door was closing to be in the bride. And it's true, because when the tribulation starts, the seven-year marriage feast also starts, the end of which the virgins escort the bride and the groom to his home, which is heavenly home, after 7 days of the marriage feast. 7 days is the 7 days of the tribulation. Yes, I'm sorry to tell you that, because there's a lot of filthy people out there thinking that they're in the bride, and they haven't read the scriptures. There shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. That's what he considers this to be. The dust. Arise, sit on thy throne, O Jerusalem. Take dominion, Jerusalem, over your flesh, over the devil, etc. This is what's happening. Loose thyself from the bonds of thy neck, O captive daughter of Jerusalem. Yes, who is that around us that keeps us captive, that as long as they're there, we're polluted and we're not able to see the grace of God and the power of God to go forth. Now that we've identified, I want to look around a little bit. I'm going to go back to verse 17 and read on. Awake, awake. Same thing said there, right? Awake, awake. Stand up, O Jerusalem, that has drunk of the hand of the Lord, the cup of his wrath. Well, you know, Jesus asked the sons of Zebedee, are you able to drink the cup that I drink? And they said, well, we are. He said, yep, you will. But to sit on my right and my left, that's not for anybody but the Father's decision, right? The cup of his wrath thou hast drunken to the bowl of the cup of staggering and drained it. This is a crucifixion to prepare this bride so that no more is it necessary to let people in who are not circumcised, who bring destruction, who bring leaven, who bring the curse of God upon the city. He is getting this place. And what city is there that no more uncircumcised and unclean people can enter into? It can't be a physical city. We're talking about a spiritual, heavenly city. And when God says it's complete, it's complete. And when he doesn't let any more people come in amongst his holy people in any kind of fashion in unity, then that's it. And they have drunk the cup of staggering and drained it. And there is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth. All those that came out of her, none of them can guide her. Neither is there any that taketh her by the hand among all the sons that she hath brought up. And I'm going to go down to verse 22. And thus saith thy Lord, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people, behold, I've taken out of thy hand the cup of staggering. So there's a time for this crucifixion at the hands of the wicked, and then there is an end to this. When Zion is sanctified, there's no more need for these Judases to come in the midst to bring their leaven and try to destroy the bride. This is a test, of course, And those that fall in the test are proven not worthy to be in the bride. So there comes an end to that when the bride is sanctified, as we saw in Psalm 101. And that is when all the wicked are removed, right? I've taken out of thy hand the cup of staggering, even the bowl of the cup of my wrath. And thou shalt no more drink it again, and I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee. Okay. Well, that happened with Judas too, didn't it? Yes. And it happened with the Pharisees too, didn't it? Yes. And it happened to their people that didn't believe, who didn't flee to the mountains when the beast was coming to destroy Jerusalem. Yes. You see? There's a time for God to use the crucifiers. And there's a time when that's not necessary anymore. Then he turns his hand upon the crucifiers. And I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, that have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy back as the ground, and as the street to them that go over. Yes, like Jesus, you know, he received the beating that came through the hand of his wicked people, then through the Roman beast to him, right? He received the beating, and God used all these things to crucify the Christ so that we might have not only a sacrifice, but an example of how he's going to sanctify his people. It is always through a crucifixion to the old man. The old man doesn't have any place in the kingdom of heaven. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so where do you get that sanctified? Right down here on the earth, through the vessels that God decides to use against you, the wicked. There is a time, of course, when all this is going to be turned back on them. You know, the beast will be destroyed, right? The harlot will be destroyed, right? The beast and the harlot works all the way through the tribulation period in the book of Revelation. To sanctify the people. That's what many don't understand. They, just as they crucified the Christ, they will sanctify his people. But before that, there has to be a body of reformers that will show them the way. Those reformers are now going through this sanctification at the hands of the harlot and the beast. The Antichrist beast. And listen, Antichrist is Antichrist. We see it everywhere in Christianity. We see the harlot everywhere in Christianity. And by the way, the harlot in Revelation 17 is the corporate body of all of the daughter harlots. She is the mother of the harlots, plural. You know, the denominations, none of the denominations followed Jesus. All of those were harlots in his day. They were the daughters. Today, same thing. History just keeps on. They have a purpose. They crucify. They hate the child of God who walks in the steps of Jesus, who believes in the power of God, who believes in healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, etc., etc. They hate the people of God. Oh yeah, I know, they claim to be Christian, but we know Christian has to be Christ-like. That's what it means. Christ-like means he believes in these things. He believes in the power of holiness and the power of God. He believes in it. Amen? So then, that's brought us right back to this, awake, awake, and put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. From henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised. Notice, this is when he has taken the cup of staggering out of her hand and handed it to these uncircumcised and unclean who have persecuted her. Shake thyself from the dust. Verse 2, arise, sit on thy throne, O Jerusalem. In other words, take authority. Take authority. as we're going to see, one thing that they take authority over is these vile people that are coming against her. Not in the flesh, in the spirit. Loose thyself from the bonds of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Ain't it awesome? I'm going to go on down just a little bit. I'll read verse 5. It says, Now therefore, what do I hear, says the Lord, seeing that my people is taken away for naught? In other words, they're not guilty. There's no need for them to be longer persecuted, crucified by the wicked. They that rule over them do howl. Well, obviously, they're a bunch of wolves, right? Says the Lord, and my name continually all the day is blasphemed. They speak against the true God with their reason, claiming to be Christians, but they don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. They don't even read his words, and they don't believe that they're alive and powerful anymore. Therefore, my people shall know my name, which name means nature, character, and authority here. They'll know his nature, his character, and his authority, his power. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak, and behold, it is I. Yes, most people don't know that the Jesus of the Bible is saying the same thing he said back then. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not going to change his words. It doesn't matter to him that the apostate harlots have all fallen away, saying that these things passed away. It makes no difference. He will not change. It's we that must change. That's what sanctification is all about. And then he says, How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. Notice that Jesus sent forth those disciples to bring the good news and to demonstrate the deliverance from the curse that was given then and we still have now. That publisheth peace and bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. It's not everybody's God that reigneth. It's not even all of the church's gods that reign. You know, they got the golden calves. They fell away. They don't hold fast to the original and only true God who dwelleth in Zion. Can you see the picture? Thy God reigneth. In other words, the bride's God is the one that rules. Tremble. All you that fight against the holy people. The voice of thy watchmen, they lift up the voice. Together do they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord returneth to Zion. How is the Lord returning to Zion? The same way he came the first time. Guess what? He raised up watchmen and they saw eye to eye. Yes, they did came out of all the denominations, but they saw eye to eye. This is history repeating. It's happening again. Because these are people who respect the Word of God. They know it hasn't passed away. They have received the benefits of it supernaturally, so they know it hadn't passed away. They shall see eye to eye when the Lord returneth to Zion. When does the Lord return to Zion? Hosea 6. 1 through 3, on the morning of the third day, at the latter rain. Who first got the former rain? Jesus did. It fell upon him. He taught his disciples, then he poured it out on them. Well, what's going to happen with the man-child? Same thing. How does the Lord come? As the rain, as the latter rain of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's being poured out upon the first fruits. And God is manifesting the power in the Word that they have put into their hearts to manifest Jesus in them. That's how he's coming. That's how he said he was coming. He's not coming in the air to rapture everybody away. That's at the end of the marriage feast that they go to the king's home. Right? And that's a 7-day/7-year period, just like in Daniel 9, 26 and 27. The 70th week. Is a week of years, the last 7 days of the marriage feast, where we're going to be feasting with the king. So they'll see eye to eye when he returneth to Zion. And that's how he said he's going to return. Hosea 6, 1 through 3. Read it. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Bought and taken. That's what redeemed means. He's taking his people. He's removing the spots and blemishes. Who feast with you, he said in Jude, in your love feasts. He's removing those spots and blemishes. That's people that are unclean. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. Now, who is that? 53. Who hath believed our report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Jesus. Jesus is coming again, but not like they expect it, and they didn't expect it that way the first time either. History repeats. The religions are wrong. Hosea 6, 1 through 3. He's coming as the latter rain. He hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. Jesus is going to walk the earth again. He's going to raise up disciples again. No, not the physical Jesus. No, but it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Have you ever heard the saying that you're the only Jesus that some people will ever see? Yes, and that's right. But Jesus said, we come into his image, we bear his fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. That's something that he does. It's by grace have you been saved through faith. That's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. What good works? He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now you see who these people are going to look like. First the man-child, and then the bride. They're going to look like Jesus, and they're going to do Jesus' works. And the rest of the 10 tribes can go their own way if they want to, but they're going to miss out on this move of God. There is no way to bear the fruit of Jesus if you're not partaking of his name, his nature, his character, his authority. Depart from the harlots, and come out from among them, and be separate. That's what he was talking about. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. The church does not know anything about salvation. The soteria, the provision that God made to save you in all things, spirit, soul, and body. Depart ye, go ye out thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Notice, he doesn't want unclean things close to his people. Cleanse yourselves, ye that bear the vessels of the Lord, for you shall not go out in haste, neither shall you go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward. Behold, my servant shall deal wisely. He shall be exalted and lifted up, and shall be very high. Who is this? I believe it's the man-child. You know why? Because verse 14 says, like as many were astonished at thee. That's Jesus. 13 is Jesus and the man-child. This is Jesus. Like as many were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred. That's talking about Jesus. More than any man. And his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Yes, he has. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which hath not been told them shall they see. Yeah, where would they get it from? Christianity? No, they won't. And that which they had not heard shall they understand. Now, isn't that awesome? A great move of God is about to start. Okay, from there, think I will go to Isaiah 59 and 20. And a Redeemer will come to Zion. Who is Zion? Unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. He's coming to Zion. He didn't say he was coming to Jacob, the 12 tribes. He's coming to Zion because they turn from transgression. These are the people who turn from transgression he's coming to. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, that is Zion, who turns from transgression, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, that's Jesus, my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed. There you go. Nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed. That is the people who listen to Zion, who obey Zion and submit to their capital city of reformers, says the Lord, from henceforth and forever. See, there are some people that are the seed of the righteous because they obey the word of God. And there's those that, you know, claim to be disciples, but they're not disciples because they don't obey. So, this is the way that God says, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The glory of the Lord? Yes, that's the manifestation of his righteousness, purity, power, etc. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. It's talking to Zion. Still talking to Zion. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the nations shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Just like those disciples went forth and carried with them the glory of God, the knowledge of salvation, the manifestation of his salvation in them, spirit, soul, and body, you know. They saw this. So, let's notice that it's those that turn from transgression. Once again, it's the holy people. It's holy Zion. Go down to verse 12. For that nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Because these people have been given dominion. Let no man take thy crown, dominion over the earth. But they say goes. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine, the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. Which is what? In Zion. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. Meaning where the Lord dwells, it will manifest his glory. That's Zion. That's the bride. And the sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. All they that despised thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. And that is the bride. And what will be the advantage of being the bride? Well, she gets to dwell with the king. And who's going to bother you there, right? It's kind of like Esther, you know. Poor Haman. He tripped over the bride. Stumbling block. Big stumbling block. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man pass through thee, I will make, see, that's the crucifixion, okay? I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the nations, like a child, right? provision from everywhere, and shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. And for brass I will bring gold. Well, now that's sanctification. And what value is brass compared to gold? Wow. And for iron I will bring silver. What value is iron to silver? Yes, did we all start out with the iron? Did we all start out with the brass? Or, you know, yes. Or somewhere along the way we came into this. But God is going to change it to gold and silver. And for wood, brass, and for stones, iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thy exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, desolation nor destruction within thy borders. Is there violence now? Yes, violent people. Violent people. People of hatred, criticism. These are people that Psalm 101 showed us would be turned over to slander and hatred of their brethren, right? But they had to be removed from the city of God, and God uses faction to do that. Faction is that cutting off tool that he uses to remove them from among the righteous and the pure. But there will be no more of this within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation, thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord will be unto thee an everlasting light. No, I know the people put this off into sometime in the millennium. Has nothing to do with that. Talks about the glory of God. Remember, we go through star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. Star glory is separation from one another, because of self-righteousness and sin and whatever. But those stars, you know, reflect the light. Okay? And then you go to moon glory, which is death, because the moon is dead and it only reflects the light, right? But then you come to sun glory, which once again has its own light. The sun has its own light. The fire of God is in the midst of the sun. And the sun is in the midst of us. The glory of God is going to shine out of his people. Not just reflecting glory, being glory. Glory will be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down. Now that happens for the world. I mean, that's the sun that they walk under, right? Neither shall thy moon withdraw itself like it is for the world. For the Lord will be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. There it is again. The days of thy mourning shall be ended. The crucifixion is over. Now the crown is on the head, and these people are going to reign. Thy people also shall be all righteous. There it is again. He's beautifying the place of his sanctuary. Thy people shall be all righteous. So you must be on that path of holiness in order to arrive in time to be all righteous, where there is no more the uncircumcised or the unclean permitted in the midst of the bride any more. But neither is there a crucifixion or violence to be heard in the land any more in either. Because the job has been done, the people have prepared, they're ready to go forth and bring about this revival. Thy people also shall be all righteous and shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. This is all for the glorification of the Son. people coming in His image, bearing His name, His nature, His character, His authority, and glorifying God. The little one shall become a thousand. Now that's how revivals really go forth, don't they? The little one shall become, like the man child, shall become a thousand, and the small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. How awesome. And, of course, then we see the pattern. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Which, he's talking about His people, who have been in bondage to Babylonish religion. And opening of the prison to them that are bound. So many of God's people are bound in every kind of curse out there. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Okay, so there we see that what happened to Jesus with the Isaiah 61 anointing is going to happen with the man child too. When the bride in these days is matured and ready, the Lord is going to go forth. He says down in, let's see, a little further down, to proclaim, verse 2, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. What's the deal here? Well, it's because they're coming out of their crucifixion. To give unto them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. He's going to exchange great joy. It's going to be given to the bride because of the crucifixions that they've gone through at the hands of the Judases that have passed through. For mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Yes, many generations of a great falling away, the desolate cities that are under Zion. They're going to be raised back up. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. In other words, God's people aren't going to have to go slave at trying to make a living all day. They're too valuable. They got to go out there and share the gospel. Yeah, let the pagans do that. They'll take care of that. God's got vessels to handle that. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. And instead of your shame, which they had under the crucifixion of the wicked, you shall have double. And instead of the dishonor, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. So, think about that. I'm talking about within thy borders, O Zion. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery with iniquity. These Judases are all thieves. Did you notice that? With iniquity. And I will give them their recompense in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the nations. In other words, the offspring of these reformers, of this bride company, are going to be known among the nations, their offspring among the peoples. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. You know what? They'll be calling them Christians, but not like the way they do it today. Christian to those early people who saw Jesus in those early disciples are going to see it again in His disciples. You can't walk into these dead churches and see Jesus anywhere, hardly, you know. But it's His name that's got to be manifested in us. His nature, His character, His authority. That's who He is. And His authority, too, which is the power that He has in His ministry. Let me see. Let's go to 62 and 1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until her righteousness go forth as brightness. Now, if you think that this is talking about natural Jerusalem, you're sadly mistaken. Natural Jerusalem is the flesh. This is the spirit that is born out of heaven. Those who are deceived and destroyed by the letter, that's the reason God hid it in a parable, so that the wise and prudent of this world would not understand, and the simple babes could understand it. I will not rest until her righteousness go forth as brightness, her salvation as a lamp that burneth. Lampros, right? Lampros. Through the tribulation, this is going to happen. This bride is going to walk in the glory of God, the brightness of God. The man-child is going to be the reformer ministry that leads them. They, in turn, just as the capital city Jerusalem, the bride, was over the rest of the body of Israel, so it will be. And the nations shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory. Thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. A new nature, a new character, and a new authority compared to what you see out there. Thou shalt also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. See, some people laugh at Zion today. Oh, they shouldn't do that. They will eat their words. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah. What do you think that is? My delight is in her. God is delighted with those who have gone through a crucifixion at the hands of the harlot, at the hands of the Judases, right? And thy land, Beulah, married. Thy land, Beulah. Who is it that's going to be married to the Lord? Oh, now you see it's Zion. Not Jacob. Zion. A portion of Jacob, right? Zion. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, notice, she has received no seed of man. She doesn't accept men's opinions. She doesn't accept men's religion. She doesn't accept men who speak contrary to the word. This is a virgin. Only the seed of God is going to bring forth Christ in you, right? And remember the Virgin Mary. My mother is them that hear the word of God and do it. Okay. As a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons, notice not children, it's sons, totally different in the scriptures. These are the sons of God, marry thee, meaning they will sow this seed in thee. The sons of God, the man-child, will sow this seed in the bride that will bring forth Jesus Christ and much fruit. Remember what Jesus did the first time. He sowed the seed of the Word of God. He was the sower. He sowed it in the bride. John the Baptist said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." That was those first fruits people that walked with Jesus, right? So shall thy sons marry thee. They will sow the seed of God. Paul said, "You have not many fathers, but I begat you through the gospel." What did he sow? The seed of God. It wasn't his own seed. It was the seed of God. so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Wow. How awesome. I'm going to keep on reading. This is so good. And I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. I believe this is the man-child, even the pre-anointed man-child who looked after his father's flock. Kind of like David. He took care of the lion and the wolf, didn't he? We've seen lots of lions and wolves. And worldwide, these lions and these wolves are constantly trying to make prey of the people of God. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, bride. They shall never hold their peace day nor night. Oh boy, I tell you, the wicked are trying to shut them up, trying to take away their voice to the people. They're trying everything they can, but they will fail. The only thing they're going to accomplish is a crucifixion of the man-child, and then they will have created something they can do nothing with. Ye that are the Lord's remembrancers, take ye no rest. Keep reminding the Lord. Now, Lord, you said this. I'm holding to this because you said it. I'm holding you to your word. And give him no rest until he establisheth, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Give him no rest, folks. Listen, Jerusalem coming into their inheritance is going to be the greatest thing for all of the people of God. Not just the bride. All of the people of God. This is going to be the greatest thing. Cry out to God that he brings forth his bride. This is going to be salvation itself for God's people. From the beast, from the harlot. Remember, those disciples went where Jesus couldn't go. Jesus, the man-child, yes, he raised up those first fruits disciples and he sent them forth. But they went in too many directions that Jesus couldn't go. And now, in our day, it's the same thing. We, you know, Israel is not just a little tiny country in the Middle East. It's those circumcised in heart all around the world, according to what Paul said. Okay, so now we need somebody to reach the world. No individual can reach the world. Okay? He'll make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy grain to be food for thine enemies. Yes, we have seen plunderers and thieves come into our midst trying to deceive us into thinking that they are righteous and they are true, but they didn't hold to God's word and they were full of their own lusts and they got taken out through faction. Faction is a knife to separate. That's what faction even means, separation, right? For thine enemies. So, no longer will the thieves, the Judases, come in the midst to steal and plunder, right? And foreigners shall not drink thy new wine, for which thou hast labored, but they that have garnered it shall eat it. And praise the Lord. And they that have gathered it shall drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. This is what the reformers do. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. That's the John the Baptist ministry. Repentance. All these things that make people stumble that have to be removed. Everyone that causes stumbling has to be removed. Lift up an ensign for the peoples. In other words, this is the sign that we serve under, right? They have the foggiest notion about who they serve under. They think they serve the kingdom by serving the harlots. No, that thing must die. It must die. It's a lie. It's a deception. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Well, now, who's got to be saved first? The reformer body, right? Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him. Oh, things are going to change at that time for the Zion, the bride who has been hated and slandered and so on and so forth. Everything's going to change. Change is right around the corner, folks. It's here. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. Yes, and we know who he's going to recompense first, right? They shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out. A city, notice who the holy people are? A city not forsaken. That's the bride. That's Zion. That's where God is coming, into his holy temple, into his holy city. And who is this that cometh up from Edom? Okay, here's his first act after coming into power in the midst of Zion, who's been persecuted by the Edomites. In other words, the Esaus, who have persecuted the Jacobs, right? Who is this that cometh up from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? Bozrah, of course, is in Edom, and it's the sheepfold in Edom. You know there's sheepfolds out there that are a part of Edom, and they're not really a part of the kingdom of God. But they persecuted Jacob. This that is glorious in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. He's going to save God's people from these Edomites who are railing and blaspheming and plundering and lying and slandering his bride. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the peoples there was no man with me. It's the Lord himself. He is the one that's going to bring judgment on these wicked people. Yea, I trod them in mine anger, and trampled them in my wrath, and their lifeblood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my raiment. Ain't God good? Give us so many blessings. Okay, I'm going to go to Isaiah 33. I'm going to start with verse 1. Woe to thee that destroyest, and thou wast not destroyed, and dealest treacherously with Zion, by the way, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou hast ceased to destroy, thou shalt be destroyed. In other words, when they're through persecuting and crucifying, that's when they're going to get their judgment. And when thou hast made an end of dealing treacherously, kind of like Judas, they shall deal treacherously with thee. And as you know, Judas was then taken out. O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou our arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. Yes, this is what Zion says to the Lord. At the noise of the tumult of the peoples are fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations are scattered. Yes, the enemy against God's people will give up their persecution. And your spoil shall be gathered as the caterpillar gathereth, as locusts leap, shall men leap upon it. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth high. He hath filled Zion with justice and righteousness. And there shall be stability in thy times, abundance of salvation, wisdom, knowledge. The fear of the Lord is thy treasure. Behold, their valiant ones cry without, the ambassadors of peace weep bitterly. The highways lie waste, the wayfaring man ceaseth, for the enemy hath broken the covenant. Wayfaring man of Kent, we've already spoken about. It's the traveler on a well-traveled road. It's the broad road. They're going to be destroyed. He hath despised the cities and regards not man. The land mourneth and languisheth. Lebanon is confounded and without and withered away. Sharon is like a desert, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their leaves. Well, okay, so what's coming that's different? Now will I arise, says the Lord. Now will I lift up myself. Now will I be exalted. You shall conceive chaff. You shall bring forth stubble. Your breath is a fire that shall devour you. Yes, the Lord said, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he reap. And the people shall be as the burnings of lime, and the thorn as thorns cut down that are burned in the fire. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Trembling has seized the godless ones. What are they doing? Those are spots and blemishes in Zion, right? As was spoken in Jude. Who among us can dwell with devouring fire? We've had dreams about being in the fire, being in the furnace. What's the furnace do? Burns up the wood, the hay, and the stubble, so that the gold and the silver and the precious stones are left, right? Who among us can dwell with everlasting burnings? This is what the sinners are going to say. We can't stand it. We can't stand this anymore. We don't want to be in this. You know, they don't want to go through the fire to get to the glory. They refuse. And of course, they do. They get angry and they run off not because of what anything's done against them or to them or anything like that, but because of their own wickedness. But you can't take wickedness with you anywhere and get rid of it. You know, I mean, you're taking your problem with you. So who can dwell in this place of the burning fire? Just Zion. The sinners in Zion can't stand Zion. They're fleeing, right? So who can stand being in the midst of Zion, the burning up of the flesh? Who's going to stand there and let their flesh be burned up? The ones that know the value of it. Verse 15. Who? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. He that despiseth the gain of oppressions. You know why people start oppressing you is to get their own way. They're manipulators. They want to sin, and they want you to okay it. And they don't like you coming against their sin or speaking against their sin, even though you may not even be personally speaking to them at all. They just don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Jesus made people mad. People like to live in their sins, and they like to justify their sins, and they like to, once they've always saved and other doctrines that permit them to live in their sins, they like that. They don't want to think that they've got to go through the fire and burn up the wood, hay, and the stubble. They don't want to believe a doctrine like that. But Jesus said, if you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. If you don't take up your cross, you can't be my disciple. So who is going to be able to stay in there and stay in Zion? The remnant that stays in Zion while the rest flee? He that despises the gain of oppressions. They'll do whatever they got to do to, you know, continue on in their lusts. They'll say whatever they got to say to continue on in their lusts. that shaketh his hands from taking a bribe. You know, your flesh always wants to, you know, please, to be pleased, you know. And it wants to bribe you away from holiness because you're going through the fire. You're going to your cross. And the flesh is saying, oh, no, we don't need to do this, you know. That stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood and shutteth his eyes from looking upon evil. Hearing of blood? Well, who was guilty of the blood? Judas? We've warned people not to listen to Judas. He's there. He has a purpose. He's full of witchcraft, which is rebellion. He's full of faction. And his words destroy. He dismembers people, as we've seen in our dreams. Dismembering them from the body. It's very bloody in the dreams how God shows that. But that's what they do. From hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from looking upon evil. Yeah, reading the garbage that people slander other people with. These are the people that are going to survive this test. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of the rocks. His bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. That's the people that sit there through the fire and don't give it up to pamper their flesh. They're going to see the king in his beauty. They shall behold a land that reacheth afar. In other words, great freedom, no bondage, right? Thy heart shall muse on the terror. Where is he that counted? Where is he that weighed the tribute? Yeah, like they do in the churches, you know. Let's see how many heads we got here. How many tithers do we have? You know, let's count them all up. And let's count up the tithes. Where is he that counted the towers? Oh gosh, have you seen the towers? You look out across the city and you see there's a tower. There's one over there. There's one over there. They stick up above the trees, don't they? That's so you can see them a long ways off. Look, here's a harlot's house. Come see. Thou shalt not see the fierce people. Who is this? Oh, that's the bride. That's Zion. Thou shalt not see the fierce people. Remember when the Assyrian king's army came up to Zion? They were all behind that wall. Thou shalt not see the fierce people. And they were talking to Hezekiah's servants over the wall, you know, and or the servants that went out to talk to them. They gave them their word, you know. But the righteous people didn't see it. And even as they attempted to take Zion, they were smitten. 185,000 of them died and of the mighty men, and they left. Zion was untouched. And then Zion was once again able to restore Jacob, who had also been conquered by the Assyrians. Thou shalt not see the fierce people, the people of a deep speech that thou canst not comprehend, of a strange tongue that thou canst not understand. That's the beast, right? Strange tongue. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities or our solemn feasts, right? Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation. Isn't that something? The beast is right outside, but it didn't even get to shoot an arrow over into Zion, according to the testimony. A quiet habitation, a tent that shall not be removed. Well, that's interesting, because all the rest of Jacob or Israel was conquered. And as we look out across Christianity, we can see that they've all been conquered. They're more like the beast. They're under the rule of the beast, walking after the flesh, which is the beast. And they've been conquered. And they don't even know it. Because their Christianity is not Christianity. It doesn't save, it doesn't deliver, it doesn't heal, it doesn't raise the dead, etc., etc. The stakes thereof shall never be plucked up, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. In other words, the beast has no power against the bride. And that comes after what? The crucifixion by the Judases. But there the Lord will be with us in majesty. Yes, the Lord's going to be there in power, in anointing. A place of broad rivers and streams, lots of water, lots of revelation from God, lots of anointing from God, right? Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit that they that believed on him were to receive. Wherein shall go no galley with oars. So no man motivated or powered ship shall go there. No works of man. Salvation is not by the works of man. It's by the power of God through faith. Neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us. Thy tacklings are loosed. They could not strengthen the foot of their mast. In other words, they couldn't catch the wind of the Spirit, the power to motivate their ship, to bring it to its desired haven, etc., etc. The foot of their mast, they could not spread the sail. Then was the prey of a great spoil divided. Yep, when you don't have any power and you trust in yourself and your own ability, like rowing with oars, you know, it's your own muscles that are going to get you there, you know, they're going to be plundered. They got no power against the beast. As we can see from this text, Zion doesn't have any problem with the beast. The lame took the prey, and the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Guess what? God's going to drive sickness out of the midst of his Zions. He's going to deliver his people. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to Zephaniah 3. And I'm going to look at verse 11 on down. In that day thou shalt not be put to shame for all thy doings wherein thou hast, in past days, obviously, transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee. How is it that Zion is going to be holy and not transgress? Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. How is this going to happen? Well, he tells you right here. I will take away out of the midst of thee thy proudly exalting ones. And thou shalt no more be haughty in my holy mountain, which is Mount Zion. Notice it's not all the people of God. It's Mount Zion. This is, you say, this is not everything. No, it's not everything. This is where we're at now. This sanctification is necessary now. And if you want to be a part of this, you have to give up your transgressions. Because you know the gospel, that Jesus already took them away. He delivered you out of the power of darkness. You got no excuse. You can give up sin. You can walk away from it. They will be no more haughty or proud in my holy mountain. It's amazing how proud these people get when God delivers them over to faction. They're so self-righteous. They're in the very sin that they're accusing you of every time. Every time. And everybody can point that out, and they don't. It just goes right over their head. But I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people. A humble people, right? Yeah. Crucified people, right? Yeah. and they shall take refuge in the name of the Lord. Folks, that's where our refuge is, in His nature, His character, and His authority. We know what His promises say. We know the power behind them. We know the One who spoke them. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. The remnant shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies. Now He's going to tell you who this remnant is in just a second here. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. They shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. See, there's that daughter of Jerusalem. It's a new Jerusalem. That's what a daughter of Jerusalem is, right? The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. Oh, glory to God. Crucifixion's over. He hath cast out thine enemy. Yep, that's what the whole point was. Go back to Psalm 101. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Yes, that's where He says He's coming, to Zion. And this is where His salvation is going to proceed out of Zion, Jerusalem. The Lord is in the midst of thee. That's where He said He was going to come. And thou shalt not fear evil anymore. Who is it that won't fear evil because the Lord's in the midst of them? Zion, the bride. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, O Zion. Let not thy hands be slack. In other words, you can go to work wide open. You have nothing to fear. Go to work. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, a mighty one who will save. So you don't have to fear the beast, the harlot, or anything else. Go. Share the gospel. Do the work. They cannot do anything to you. A mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. Wow, doesn't that just make you feel good? How would you like to make God really happy? You know He's happy when His people overcome, when they've been revealed the name of the Lord, when they're coming into His presence, when they've endured the crucifixion at the hand of the wicked, because then they can have pure fellowship with Him. Then He comes in the midst of them. Crucifixions before the crown. I will gather them that sorrow for the solemn assembly who were of thee, to whom the burden upon her was a reproach. Yes, there are people that have fled the reproach of Zion, but they're going to get the revelation. And they know that Zion is holy, and they can see Christ in Zion. They can see the glory. They can see the power. They can see the healings and deliverances and provisions and on and on and on. They can see these things all have been promised to come forth from Zion. Behold, at that time I will deal with all them that afflict thee. Yep, just as we've read before. The Edomites. And the Moabites, you know, same thing. Those were kin through Lot, right? Those were kin, but they came against their brethren. We got the word a while back concerning how many of the enemy is going to be destroyed and how many of them are going to be converted, because when David conquered the Moabites, he lined them up on three rows on the ground. Two of those rows were destroyed. The third one became servants unto David. Servants, not sons. Servants unto David. So the people that have fallen away, some of them are elect. They will return. They will serve the kingdom on a lesser level than a son. and two will be destroyed, separated from the kingdom of God, period. Behold, at that time I will deal with all them that afflict thee, and I will save that which is lame, and gather that which was driven away, and I will make them a praise and a name. So, these that are persecuted and driven away God's people, hurt, destroyed God's people, he's going to take care of them, and he's going to bring the righteous to his heavenly kingdom. And I will make them a praise and a name, whose shame hath been in all the earth. Yes, shame. They've been lied about, slandered, and the wicked will reap their reward. His reward is with him, his recompense before him. And when he was saying that, of course, he was talking about taking out Edom. At that time will I bring you in. At that time will I gather you. I will make you a name and a praise among all the peoples of the earth, when I shall bring back your captivity before your eyes, says the Lord. Bring back the captivity? Yes, yes. The people that have been driven away and so on, you know, in captivity and so on. Yes, that's the Lord. Okay, I'm going to look in Joel chapter 3. Let's see, I think I'll read 17 on down. Well, maybe back to 16. The Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be a refuge unto his people, and a stronghold to the children of Israel. Remember, there's actually two times that this is going to happen. God is sanctifying his people. Two major times. First, it's going to be the bride in preparation for using them during the tribulation. And then it's going to be the people in the tribulation who go through the same thing that the bride did. Right? So you may think timing is off, but it's just a repetition is what it is. So, when the Lord comes in the midst of his people, he is going to roar against his enemies from Zion. That's where he says he's coming to. That's where he says he's going to rule over his people and over the world. And utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. So these judgments are coming out of Zion. Right? By the way, there's great shakings on this end of the tribulation period, because I told you there's going to be a repetition, and there's going to be great shakings on the other end of the tribulation period. These are to deliver Zion and to chasten the wicked. And the same thing at the end is to deliver the church and to chasten the wicked. Okay. But the Lord will be a refuge unto his people. He always is. So be a child of God or a son of God, right? And a stronghold to the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no strangers pass through her any more. There it is again. No strangers pass through her any more. Now that can't be physical Zion, obviously. I mean, they're all bragging about the Antichrist coming and being in the midst of Zion and all that, but that's unregenerate Zion. Okay. The Lord, the Christ, is coming in the midst of his Zion, a heavenly Zion, born from above, not corrupt Zion over there. It's not the holy city, folks. It hasn't been called the holy city since they crucified Jesus. It's not the holy city. There's nothing holy about it. It's this born from above Zion that is the holy city, coming down out of heaven from God. And literally, when Jesus spoke about being born again, it's from above in John chapter 3. From above. You can be born from your religion. You can be born from your preacher. You can be born from false doctrines. But the only way to be born from above is that manna which came down out of heaven that gives life to the world. Go for the manna. Yes, I know, the flesh doesn't like the manna. Oh, you know, they got tired of making everything out of that manna and changing it in every way they could, you know, to get. They were grumbling about the manna. They wanted flesh. Give us flesh. Give us flesh. And God said, okay, I'll give you flesh, but it's going to come out of your nose. You'll be sick of it. And so the churches have basically, give us flesh. We want an easy life. We want to sit on a pew for an hour or so and go home and live the way we've always lived, you know. And that's not what it's all about, is it? It's not even fulfilling the Great Commission. But God's people are going to fulfill the Great Commission. God's Zion is going to fulfill the Great Commission. And then when this fruit is born in the church itself, these people are all going to be bringing forth fruit from the Great Commission. Because the first fruits is not the only fruits. Neither is the second fruits the only fruits. God wants to do this in all of his people. All of his people will bear 30, 60, or 100-fold fruit. All of them. And the rest are rejected. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no stranger pass through her any more. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down sweet wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall flow with waters. And a fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord, which is where? In Zion. And shall water the valley of Shittim. Wow. So that's this river of living water flowing out of the throne of God to give life to the nations, past the trees on this side of the river and that side of the river, and the tree of life, which is the tongue of the righteous, right? It's a tree of life, right? And it's to go and water the nations, you know. So a great revival is going to come from the throne, which is the Lord. The revival is going to start with the Lord. And where is the Lord? He's in Zion. He has come in Zion. That's where the revival starts. Jesus did come in Zion. And he chose the bride. They were chosen before the tribulation that they had, the bride. Okay. Egypt shall be a desolation. Of course, this is a symbol of the earthly, those that have kept God's people in bondage, right? Egypt, he told them never to go back to Egypt, meaning not go back under bondage to the old man, because the baptism, Paul called the baptism of water, is what took out the old man, the Egyptian, and gave life to the new man, the Israelite, who came up on the other side, right? They were baptized, and they came up. The old man was dead. Reckon yourself to be dead in sin, but alive unto God, right? Egypt represents the old man, the world. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence done to the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. Yes, Edom represents, of course, those that persecuted their brother, Esau, who was reprobated, right? Because of the violence done against Judah, the tribe that Zion was the fruit of. Right. But Judah shall abide forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. and I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. So the Lord is interested in cleansing His bride. He wants a spotless and blemishless bride. And He'll do what He has to do to get the Edomites out of the midst. Because they fall away so drastically and so shockingly that people around them say, "What happened to them?" You know? Well, they just went a little too far. They tried to bring their sin in the midst of God's people who want to be holy. You remember when Ananias and Sapphira, you know, acted like they were committing all to the kingdom. But they lied. They thought they were lying unto men, but they were lying unto God. And they were smitten because they were trying to come into a holy people. Now, you don't really get that judgment if you go into these dead churches because that's not a holy people. But when God's people become a holy people and you try to bring in your leaven, God gets angry. He'll judge it. So if you don't want to repent, you want to be bribed by sin, you want to give in to sin, don't go among a holy people. Don't go among a people that believes and is striving for the place of holiness. It will judge you. Don't do it. If you're not committed to the crucified life and you're not going to be diligent to continue in it when you're faced with your sin, don't go among God's people. People say, "Well, I'm going to the wilderness. I'm going to go over there and be with UBM." And well, that could be the biggest mistake of your life if you're not committed to following the Lord. Remember, the wicked died in the wilderness. Even the leaders of the tribes, 10 of them, died in the wilderness because they brought the bad report. They didn't make it to the promised land. But Judah shall abide forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, and I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing in raising up a bride to start this revival with. Lord, we've been wanting to see the revival. Well, it's costly. To see the revival is costly. We have to give up our lives in order to see this revival. It's not going to start like it has in the past with the revivals of the past, which are corrupt and don't last long and fall into disrepute and fall into every kind of foolishness that you can imagine. No, it's not going to be that anymore. This revival is going to be a real revival. And Jesus will be great unto the end of the earth this time, we're told. A real, real revival. It will look like the revival we see in the book of Acts without all the stupidity and all the goofiness, you know, and all the supernatural things that are not godly. This is what the real revival is going to look like. Yes, error will attempt to come into the midst, but it will be quickly dealt with. You know, Ananias and Sapphira always want to join themselves to the people of God, but they haven't really committed all to the Lord, just like in that story. And so they were smitten because the people of God were holy. Once again, revival is going to bring forth a holy people, and they're going to be sanctified. I'm talking about not just individually sanctified, but sanctified like a body is sanctified, a corporate sanctification, a deliverance from the wicked who want to come into the midst. They will be quickly seen and quickly outed and quickly judged. When the people become holy, God becomes a jealous God. He's not going to rest until he He brings about this sanctification of Zion, and through Zion, the people of God, the church, Jacob. He's not going to rest. And we're not to give him any rest until we see personal and corporate sanctification, deliverance from evil and the evil, and the people who don't have this desire to be pure and holy and sanctified more than they desire other things. It's astounding. Father, we thank you for this awesome work that you're doing among your people. We thank you for the deaths that we go through in order to get to the resurrections. We thank you that you're showing us that we're very close by these corporate signs that we're seeing. It's very awesome, Lord. And I'm thrilled. You know, it makes me worry less and less about what I got to go through when I see what you're doing, Lord, and how close we are, and how we have to be sure not to give in to the wicked. They always want to get us off of our course. They always want to bring about a bad result in us. But we just keep our eyes on you, Lord. We put our trust in you, Lord. We cease from our works. We enter into the rest. We can only be in the rest if we walk by faith. He that hath believed doth enter into the rest. A ceasing from our own works. This is the sin that we don't need in our midst, that will keep us from receiving the crown. Lord, help us to believe your promises. Help us to trust in your wonderful plan for your people. Lord, I know that many of your people want to be members of Zion, members of the bride for these days to come. But as you say, many are not willing to count the cost, to lose their life, to not be bribed by sinfulness and the lusts of the flesh. They're not willing to give that up. And when they're not willing, they get turned over to faction in order to separate them from the body. Thank you, Father, for sanctifying a body, because this is where this great revival is going to come from. The great revival that we've all been praying for, are we willing to have it come forth out of us through bearing our cross, losing our life, ceasing from our own works? Sadly, we hear about some that are never coming back to the Lord. And every once in a while we get revelations of that, of who they are. And also revelations of those who are coming back from captivity to the Lord. From captivity to Babylon, to the harlot, to their flesh, to the beast, the mind of the flesh, right? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Thank you, Father, for doing your wondrous work. We can see your determination to bless your people in Zion, to sanctify a body, a bride, like unto Esther, or the Shulamite in Song of Solomon. Lord, your determination to do this is because this is the seed of the revival. And the man-child is sowing that seed in the bride, even as we speak. And it will prove who the real bride is. And these who are proven will be the seed of this revival to go forth all over the earth to spread the real, true gospel. And deliverance from captivity. We thank you, Father. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, brethren, for joining us today. And I ask you to draw close to God. pray against Edom. Cast down Edom. They're constantly warring against the people of God. And thank you so much, Father, for giving victory to your people and showing your great and mighty power through your people in Jesus' name. Well, all right. God bless you. Hey, don't forget to get on our e-list on our site. Some people are having trouble getting on the site. We first went through a hack, and that was over pretty quickly, but then we migrated to a new service, and of course we're straightening all the bugs out there. Some people still get that sign up there, you know, new site, new whatever, you know, and sometimes it's just you have to go back and type in our address so that this memory does not keep coming up. Type the address into your browser. You'll go right there and you won't have the problem anymore. So anyway, we're in the process of remaking our site. So thank you so much, and God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name.